Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Praise the Lord. This is Sister Glass, and God bless each and every one of you, faithful, familiar friends who listen to the broadcast daily. If you're a new listener, I welcome you in Jesus' name and pray that you're blessed by the broadcast. We're heard every day on this station, Monday through Friday, at the same time. And we've been looking at some of Paul's words in Romans, the 8th chapter, about the victorious Christian life. And we will never attain full sonship unless each and every one of us are willing to come to the Lord and put all that we are, put all that we have at the Lord's disposal. We're to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is our reasonable service. In other words, that's not something not unreasonable. That's something we should do. Be willing to become a bondservant to the Lord Jesus Christ. God, beloved, has chosen you to work through. You're a part of His body. You didn't choose them. You didn't choose this wonderful walk. He chose you. We love Him because He first loved us. And what did Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments. And if you love Him enough, your actions will speak louder than words. Listen, no matter how hard you try to live right in your own ability, you simply cannot do it without God's help, without God's ability. The Apostle Paul, through direct inspiration of the Holy Ghost, writes in verse 13 of Romans, the chapter 8, "If ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live, not only eternally, but experience abundant life in the here and now." And Paul is talking about our eternal inheritance in Christ throughout eternity, but he's also talking about this life right now. And brother and sister, if you're not living a victorious life in Christ, well, you're not really living. Oh, you're breathing, but you're not really living. If you will look again at Romans 8 and 1 through 13, those first 13 verses of Romans, the 8th chapter, you will see what is the beginning of a sonship requirement. Let me state here and now that sonship is not a profession, it's a possession. And the only way you can or ever will kill the old man, the carnal nature, that which is of anger and negativity and strife and dispute, it's to deal with that old nature by the Word of God. We've professed long enough, and it's time we possess what we've talked about. And I'm speaking especially now to Pentecostal churches today. We've professed sonship, but we've not walked, looked, nor acted like the Son, like Jesus. The Scripture states very plainly and clearly, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." Oh, there are a number of churches who have yielded to God, and there are a number of pastors and ministers and evangelists who have yielded to the Lord. But I'm talking not just about the exceptions, I'm talking about generalities. For instance, if you would walk into some so-called by name Pentecostal churches today and give a message in tongues, or better yet, try letting the Holy Spirit give you a prophecy in their midst, well, if the pastor doesn't stop you outright, as soon as you're finished, two deacons will have you by the arms and they'll take you outside to talk to you about, misbehaving and disrupting the service. You know, years ago we were at a Pentecostal convention in Southern California, and a young man was moved on by the Holy Spirit, and he actually stood up in that crowd of 3,000 or 4,000 people and gave a message in tongues. And what happened? Well, instead of the ministers that were on the platform, there were about 20 of them, instead of them tuning into the Lord and being in tune with God so that they could receive the interpretation, the host of the convention stepped to the microphone and told the people, "Ladies and gentlemen, this young man is sincere, but please forgive him." You could have heard the silence 20 miles away. Here was the president of a Bible college, a Pentecostal Bible college, by the way, telling the convention that speaking in tongues was out of order. I mean, what's that all about? It's really sad that we believe it. It's in our statement of faith, but we don't experience it. We don't live it. Paul states in verse 14, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." This pastor actually said that this young man who spoke in tongues at the Pentecostal convention just didn't know what he was doing, and just please overlook him. Don't be offended by this poor, misguided young man. And of course, that doesn't happen everywhere with every Pentecostal church or convention, but it does point up to the need that we have to preach the whole Word of God, the whole counsel of God to the church world, to the body of Christ, whether they are Pentecostal or evangelical or fundamental. You know, I'm thinking of another experience the Lord just brings to mind. Years ago, we were, Brother Glass and I were, he was a board member in our particular fellowship, and we were down at a convention in Southern California, and I'll never forget, there was a young man that was, it was a time of worship and praise, and I could not take my eyes off of him. It was so beautiful to watch this man worshiping God, and it's rare to see a man worshiping and giving himself to God as this brother was. He was dancing before the Lord, and he was doing it not in a way to draw attention to himself. He did step up out in the aisle where he could dance, but he, you know, the minute the music stopped, he just withdrew quietly to his seat. It wasn't a fleshly demonstration. I have never, to this day, seen anyone dance before the Lord with such a purity of heart, with such wholeheartedness. He had his eyes closed. He was oblivious to what was going on around him. He was dancing. I mean, it brought tears to my eyes. It chokes me up even as I think of it, because it was such a beautiful expression of worship to God, such as I've never seen before, really. I've never seen a man dance in such, with such expression and with such feeling and with such emotion. And I was really saddened and disappointed when the host pastor sort of kind of made a public apology for this brother. You know, just you know, it's all right. Just don't pay too much attention to this brother. Well, I found out that this particular brother had been in every drug rehab program the county of Los Angeles had to offer. And through all the things that he went through, he was never delivered. And he was bound by alcohol. He was bound by drugs. But it wasn't until he had an experience with Jesus that he was delivered and set free. And so he was dancing and he was praising God because of what Jesus had done for him. And after the service, I went up to him and I said, "Oh, brother," I said, "don't ever stop doing what you're doing." But it was so sad that the ministers were kind of apologizing, you know, just kind of overlook him, don't pay any attention to him. And my heavens, you know, what have we done? What have we come through? You know, I've been in other situations, very excellent places of ministry. They preach the Word of God. They believe in the moving of the Spirit. They're absolutely doctrinally sound. But I tell you, this is from my own experience. I have literally been in situations where the prevalent belief was that the only valid New Testament way to praise God is with the lifting up of the hands. And literally, this is their belief, and this is true, that the Holy Spirit wasn't poured out. He wasn't given until the day of Pentecost. And so it says that the Spirit came on the prophet, the priest, and the king in the Old Testament covenant. You know, the Holy Spirit didn't indwell them as he does believers today. And so the Holy Spirit would come upon them, and David danced before the Lord with all of his might because, well, he was really just in the flesh. That was the best he could do. I'm telling you, they actually believe this way. And so the only valid thing is to really just lift your hands. I mean, you can sing in the Spirit, but, you know, they are so short-sighted in terms of what the Word of God says. And all I know is that David did. He was a prototype. He was a prophetic expression of what the relationship God wanted under the new covenant. In fact, it was amazing. Remember when he tried to bring the ark into the city of David at first? Uzzah, they were bringing it on a cart drawn by oxen, and the oxen stumbled. Uzzah put his hand against the ark to steady it, and he was killed. He dropped dead just because God would not be dishonored in that way. And that the fear of the Lord entered David, and they sought the law of the Lord. And it was 3 months in the house of Obadiah, and then they did it the correct way. They brought it on the shoulders of the priests, and David set up. There were still blood sacrifices on Mount Gibeon, but he did something so radical, so unbelievable, that he had the physical ark in the tent, and there was round-the-clock worship to the Lord. And it was representative of the kind of relationship that we have. And there were banners, and there was singing, and there was dancing, and there was prophesying. All the while, I mean, the ark was there, but over on Mount Gibeon, that's where the sacrifices were being still, and by law they needed to be, were still being offered to the Lord. And this was an example that God is building up and restoring the tabernacle of David. And I tell you, this is not Old Testament. This is not Old Covenant. Because in the 15th chapter of Acts, the Apostle James stands up. This is New Testament. It's the 15th chapter. I'll read it for you. And in verse 15, he says, "And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return, and I will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things." So praise God. Too much of the church world is just set in their own little pet beliefs and doctrines, and I want to tell you, God wants to break loose and loose us into the fullness of the demonstration of His Spirit. He's in charge, not us. Well, I could carry on, and I'm just going to have to carry on tomorrow because my time is drawing to a close, and I invite you to tune in tomorrow at the same time. The announcer will give you our mailing address. I invite you to write, and if you have a cassette recorder still, request our current cassette tape offer. I'll be happy to put it in the mail to you. The announcer will give you our address. Till tomorrow, this is Sister Glass, and may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.